MLB.com does an outstanding job, and of course you know him from his books, The Baby Bombers, Mission 27, The Bronx Zoom, all of it. He joins us right now to talk Yankees. Brian, Chris Carlin, how are you, dude?
Hey, Chris, how are you? I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
I'm outstanding. And Brian, first question, are you really comfortable in your growing role on the social media platform TikTok?
What a leadoff question. Wow. Of everything you could have asked, that is not what I would have answered. It's been fun. It's been, one of the things about this pandemic is you can't really do all the things we're used to doing. Like, I can't go out and do like a meet and greet or anything or any of that. So getting to interact with the fans that way and kind of take the pulse of, you know, what Yankee fans are thinking and talking about. I mean, you got to use all the tools in the toolbox, and whether it's Instagram or Twitter or now TikTok, I credit my wife, Connie. She's really pushing me to be more active on social media, and it's been fun. But that's what we have to do in this kind of environment where a lot of our interaction, unfortunately, is taking place, through a screen.
I got to tell you, they keep giving us more to do, and it's time consuming.
But it's fun. It's fun. It's great to kind of connect with people. And definitely what I've found is that when you post something on Twitter and when you post something on Instagram, it's a totally different audience. That's one thing I've noticed.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
I think that the Instagram people are a lot nicer. I've noticed that. But the TikTok ones are a lot younger. And so, as far as baseball goes, we're always trying to connect with the new generation. And so, just because you post on one platform doesn't mean somebody is seeing it on different platforms. So, like I said, you got to just kind of use whatever you can.
You could argue the people on Reddit are nicer than the people on Twitter, but that's aside. We don't have to get into that.
I like the people on Reddit. They're good too. Yeah.
Brian, I'm going to just start with the most basic of questions. Are the Yankees better than they were a year ago?
Well, I think that they are just as good as they were a year ago. How about that? I think that we talked about them as a World Series contender last year. They did not live up to that, and they've completely revamped the pitching staff. But I thought that team in 2020 was good enough to go to the World Series. There's a reason that everybody was kind of talking about, pre-pandemic, a Yankee-Dodger World Series. And I think we're right back to talking about that again. I think the Yankees are favorites in their division. I think that they're on the short list of teams that can win the pennant and go to the World Series. And so I think they're exactly where they were last year with basically the same lineup, different pitching staff. And I understand there's a lot of question marks about that pitching staff. We're talking about guys like Corey Kluber and Jameson Taillon, who could be great, but haven't pitched a whole lot in the last couple of years. So there's an unknown there, but there was an unknown last year too, with some of the guys that they had on that pitching staff too. And so I think that, if you want to write the Yankees down right now as American League favorites, I have no problem with that. And I would have said the same thing in February of 2020.
Brian Hoke, MLB.com, with us, covers the Yankees. Okay, this offseason, we know that they had to do what they did with LeMahieu. Brian, taking the risks that they did with Taillon and with Kluber, two guys who just have not pitched a whole lot the last couple of years, at least Kluber only 30 some innings, and Taillon, we know about his injury. When you look at all of that, was it the more prudent play to go with what you already knew in Masahiro Tanaka as opposed to going down the Kluber Taillon road?
Well, at this point in spring training, this is a time of year when I want to believe that everybody's in the best shape of their lives and everybody's going to go out and have an MVP caliber season. So, I watched Corey Kluber throw live BP today and he looked good, but everybody looks good at this stage, or at least they should if they're not walking off the field holding something. So to answer your question, I see what they're interested in Kluber, the ceiling, the potential, a two-time Cy Young Award winner. That would, every team should want to bring on a guy like Corey Kluber and Taillon too. The ceiling is immense. He was a first-round draft pick. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy. And so The question is, would you rather have had two kind of lottery tickets there or a solid known quantity in Masahiro Tanaka? And to be honest with you, when the season ended, I thought they were going to re-sign Tanaka. I was very surprised that they did not. But clearly they didn't feel like they were able to get where they needed to go with Tanaka last year, and now they're trying to upgrade. And, you know, Brian Cashman said, we thought two was better than one, but that one that you let go back to Japan was pretty darn good. So Kluber and Taillon have a lot to live up to.
Your early read on the Gary Sanchez situation, just as far as not what he's going to do on the field, because there's no way to tell, but how this is going to go off the field between him and management if things are not going well?
Well, I think that if things are not going well the way they were not going well last year, where he's hitting 147 and, you know, giving up a lot of pass balls and not really playing great behind the plate, then I don't think he's going to get the opportunity to continue playing. I think that what the Yankees showed last year was their patience ran out. And part of that was the shortened season and the fact that the playoffs were approaching so fast. But at some point in September, the Yankees looked at the situation and said, Kyle Higashioka is catching, throwing, and hitting better than Gary Sanchez. We're going to start Kyle Higashioka in 5 out of the 7 postseason games. And I think that Aaron Boone will not hesitate to do that if they have to do it again. But my guess is that Gary will come in and perform better than he did last year. I think that so much of that can probably be attributed to the pandemic, just the fact that they were overloading him with information, and then everything had to stop in March, and then he had to kind of hurry up and get back up there in July. And I think there was just a lot going on, a lot of unknown quantities that happened and kind of collided there. And once he got in that hole and was standing at home plate at Yankee Stadium looking up the scoreboard and hitting, you know, 150, 160, it was too hard to climb out of that. So I think that he really needed, more than probably anybody on this team, he needed this offseason to kind of clear the deck and come back. And we've seen the talent. We know what Gary can be. He's a two-time All-Star. He hits for power, but he's never going to be a Gold Glove defender. And if he's not hitting the way that Gary Sanchez is, then I don't think they're going to stick with him. But I think they're going to give him an opportunity to prove that last year was a fluke.
Brian Hoke, MLB.com with us. How did Gleyber Torres take those comments about him being out of shape this offseason?
You know, he kind of took it in stride. He said that, you know, that was basically their opinion. And that was something that Brian Cashman said, was that Torres showed up for the summer camp in July, the restart, spring training number two, and he was heavier. And I think that we saw that with the naked eye. We could tell that he wasn't moving quite the way he did in March. And again, I attribute that to the pandemic. You know, a lot of these guys didn't have gyms or kind of solidified places that they could go. They were kind of scrambling in April and May and June. I mean, it's the first pandemic for all of us, right? So I think that it took him a while to kind of burn that off and get back to where he should have been. And, you know, I think that late in September and certainly during the postseason, we started to see the Gleyber Torres that we thought we were going to see in 2020. So, you know, much like Gary, I think that Gleyber has an opportunity here to kind of wipe 2020 away. You're going to look at that on the back of his baseball card and say, that was a strange year. And then he's 24 years old. He can bounce back and restore himself to where he was in 2019 and pick that up. And, you know, based on what he said and his social media, it seems that he's motivated to do that. So, you know, I think there's still a legitimate question of, is he an everyday shortstop? And with this Yankee team, he's going to have to be, because they've got a pretty good second baseman in DJ LeMahieu. But I think that he needs to, much like Gary Sanchez, provide the offense so you're going to live with whatever happens on the defensive side.
Brian Hoke, MLB.com. I got a couple more for you. I'm going to make probably what is a remarkably dumb assumption. That is this, that Aaron Judge, Stanton, Aaron Hicks are all, let's say, healthy for the first couple of months of the year. If that's the case, where do Brett Gardner's at-bats come from? Is he strictly a twice-a-week guy at that point?
Probably, but as we've seen so many times over the last few years, having Judge and Hicks and Stanton all healthy at the same time, it very rarely happens. It's kind of like an eclipse. So you deal with it if that is the case. And I'm sure that Gardy understands coming back that that is a possibility. He'd probably prefer that the team is completely healthy, because then they're going to be really good and win a whole lot of ball games. But I feel like it's been a few years running now where we've been talking about the Yankees' plans to kind of ease off of Brett Gardner and how they thought that he was starting to wear down late in seasons, and this year will be different. And then because of the circumstances, they wound up playing him way more than anybody ever talked about in February and March. So I just think back to something that Joe Torre always used to say, is that, you know, on paper, it may not make sense, but these problems have a way of working themselves out. And certainly with the Yankees and the injured list, I know they're hoping not to set any records this year, but I feel like it's going to take a village once again, and especially on the pitching side. But these outfielders have not been able to stay healthy, so I'll bet on the track record that at some point somebody's going to need a timeout, whether it be for 2 weeks or a month or whatever, and that's when Brett Gardner's going to get those at-bats, I think.
Last one, Brian. How much longer am I going to have to hear about the gas station?
Well, I'll tell you what, pitchers and catchers are here now. And so we're the gas station. They've got this kind of high tech barn that they've built over at the minor league complex. And so that's kind of a cute new story. And it sounds like they've got a lot of cool things in there, Rapsodos and Trackmans and all kind of data that they could come up with. And I know that RotoWare already made a T-shirt for the gas station, so I would expect that that'll be out there pretty soon. But when the position players get to town in the next couple of days and they get over back to Steinbrenner Field and they're training at the big league complex, we probably won't be talking about the gas station too much, but you never know. It has allowed me to make a lot of puns about high octane and diesel and regular and all these things. So it's always nice when we can get something like that and spice up our writing a little bit.
Appreciate the time, Brian. Thanks very much for the insight.
You got it, Chris. Take care.
Brian Hoke, MLB.com on the Yankees.